thought of how can I be grateful? I don't have to expect people to thank me, but how can I be grateful? So picking it up in verse 11, we just read, he talks about the 10 lepers and how 9 of them went away, went about their life the way it always was, got back to where they could associate with their family again, and then the one leper comes back and says, thank you for everything. Thank you. So, it's Thanksgiving time. It's a time where we identify things that we are grateful for. From our friends, our families, our coworkers, to even such things as daily necessities, we are thankful at this time. And we can be thankful and grateful for so many things. Around this time of the year, there are so many people that are appreciative for things, but there are also some people who don't even know what it's like to be thankful. They didn't grow up, or they didn't see it demonstrated. So they just didn't grow up in an attitude of thanking people. And I fall into the category where I know how to thank someone, but I don't always do it. And I fall into that category too often. I was raised well. I was raised up to say thank you and to mean it, to appreciate people for the small things and the big things that they do for me. I come from a situation where that was typical. But I find myself forgetting to appreciate many people in my life. Many people. Why? Because there are some subtle things that get in the way of showing gratitude. And when we are recipients of grace, the grace of God, we should be natural givers of thanks. So why is it so difficult to show gratitude? Well, we have 5 reasons today. I'm not going to repeat them too much after this, so I'm going to go through them. They're on the back of your bulletin. 1, it forces us to admit we have a need. We had a need. Gratitude starts with an individual decision. It knocks us off our own course or our own agenda. It requires humility, and it disregards ethnic barriers. There's nothing that can get in the way of saying thank you, or there is things that get in the way of saying thank you. So, 1, true gratitude forces us to admit we had a need. 11 through 13, as we look at Luke chapter 17, says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Let's just take a breath for a moment. Get focused. All right. He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They realized they had a need. Oh, and did these lepers ever have a need? Because leprosy was not a small thing in this time period. To understand how thankful and how grateful they should have been, we need to understand what leprosy was. It was something that caused people to become an outcast in society. It was a picture of sin and death. For many people during Bible times, they understood that leprosy was associated with sin. It was kind of the same, one and the same, of an illustration of sin. And not only were people with leprosy considered unclean spiritually, but also physically. There was much to fear with the spread of this disease. And in order to understand how grateful they were, we need to understand the horribleness of it, the symptoms. What were the symptoms? Well, it would start in the skin and the peripheral nervous system, basically outside the brain and the spinal cord. And then it would spread to other parts, such as the hands, the feet, the face, the earlobes. Patients with leprosy experienced disfigurement of skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, curling of the fingers, to form basically a claw hand. Things would happen where their face would change, including the thickening of the earlobe, the collapsing of the nose. Tumor-like growths called lepromas may form on the skin and in the respiratory tract. The optic nerve, the eye, begins to deteriorate. And a lot of the deformities that was caused while you have leprosy was actually caused because you can't feel pain. So someone with leprosy might pick up a cup of boiling water and not feel it. Therefore, there's damage because of that cup of boiling water. They might bump their leg on a chair and not feel it, not know it, and therefore it gets worse. They don't do anything about it. Pain is desensitized. They can't feel things. And biblical leprosy is a powerful symbol reminding us of sin's spread and its horrible consequences. Like leprosy, sin starts out small but can spread in our life, leading us to other sins and causing great damage to our relationship with God and others. And it can also bring us to a place where we become callous and we don't recognize when we are involved in sin the more we spend in it. Studying leprosy helps us to see why pain is a valuable gift. And you with pain right now are thinking, that's not really a gift, but it's a valuable gift. Why? Because it's a survival mechanism to warn us of danger in this cursed world. If you have pain, the part about pain is, I'm going to go see a doctor to figure out what that pain is. If you don't know that there's pain, you aren't going to see a doctor. So, Dr. Brand, he's a doctor that's involved in treating patients with leprosy. He said plainly, I cannot think of a greater gift I could give my leprosy patients than pain. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 talks about the Holy Spirit's ministry in the lives of the people of the world. Jesus says in regards to the disciples, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, referring to his death on the cross and his ascension after the death on the cross, but if I go, I will send him to you, the Holy Spirit. And he, verse 8 of John chapter 16, will, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He's around this world convicting people of their sin. And it says specifically the sin of unbelief. That is what the Holy Spirit is in our lives. It's a convicting agent. It's like pain. It allows us to understand that there's a problem and that there's a solution to that problem. And it just kind of clarifies that we have a need. So, one reason why gratitude is difficult to show is because it forces us to admit we had a need. The next one is true gratitude starts with an individual. An individual. Verses 14 and 15 of Luke chapter 17 says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, this is where it gets individual, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Every day, you and I are forced with making decisions, personal decisions in our life. And it's extremely hard to make decisions when it goes against the fact that everybody else is doing something different. People can influence us so much, they can bring us to neglecting things that we know that we should do because there's power in numbers. Is there power in numbers? Yes, yes, you can answer that. Yes, is there power in numbers?
Yes.
All right, so there's power to impact our decisions, what? Positively and negatively. So as we look at a group of people in a church, it's very easy to be righteous and to live righteously in a church setting. But that doesn't mean that throughout the rest of the week we live like we live here. We should, right? Yeah. Right, positively. This should be a positive impact. But there are also negative impacts, like the nine men that were heading off to see the priest. And this one says, wait, I've been healed. I need to thank the one who healed me. The truth is, a show of gratitude for a kindness received speaks volumes. In the Christian life, we have to make decisions as an individual and get used to making choices that are not felt or acted upon by the majority. The truth is, the greatest impact a Christian can have is to break the mold. The greatest impact a Christian can make is to break the mold. He turned back. This man turned back. He realized that it was him personally that had been healed. He knew that since he had personally been healed, he needed to thank the true healer. His attitude is an attitude that we all should desire to have. What is it? Well, when we realize our need to be healed from sin, and when we see that need being met through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then it should force us to turn to that, to recognize that, and to thank Him for it. We need to break the mold. It's not a common thing for people to turn to God, to turn to Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to thank Him for what He's done. And sometimes even we can accept, we can have faith in Jesus Christ, but then we forget to thank Him. And what is thanking Jesus Christ? Thanking Him is through our lives that we live. Each and every one of us have individual decisions in our lives that are consequential to the course that our lives will take. And what course are we going to choose? Gratitude or futility, uselessness? Because there's a verse in Romans chapter 1. Turn there with me. Romans chapter 1. Picking it up in verse 20. It says, "For since the creation," Romans 1:20, "of this world, His invisible attributes, God's eternal power and God's divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood." People can understand God through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks." What happens when they don't give thanks? They became foolish, futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They may look wise, but they became fools. If we don't thank God for what He's done in our lives, if we don't thank God for the creation He's given us, for the world that He's made for us, for the bodies He's given us, the knowledge of Him and all that's around us, we give up the ability to live life in usefulness. And we give in to being ineffective, futile, foolish, and useless for any good eternal thing. Gratitude starts with an individual. And it says, if you don't thank God, and if you don't recognize God, then there is nothing useful that's going to come out of a life lived apart from God. Thank Him. Third one, true gratitude knocks us off our own course. This is really cool. He's going in one direction. He's going to the priest. He's heading that way. And it says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back." He came off of his course. Convenience and ease are not good friends of gratitude, because gratitude does not come easily and it doesn't come conveniently. Jesus Christ did not give His life easily and conveniently. Therefore, it might be a little bit hard to thank Him for it. Gratitude is hard, but it does come out of the thankfulness of our hearts, and it's driven by our love for Him. Not by compulsion, but through our love for Him. This Samaritan, as soon as he realized what Jesus had done for him, immediately turned around and went off his predetermined course and charted a course of thanks back to Jesus Christ. Our Christian life is a life of sacrificial worship. Mike Clark talked about this at the men's breakfast yesterday. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." How do we give Him thanks? In view of His mercies. In view of the things that He doesn't give us that we deserve. Death. Discipline. We want God's discipline in our life, but we don't want His punishment. Our spiritual service of worship is viewing all of God's mercies, living our lives in sacrifice to him because of what he's done for us. The other nine men who missed Thanksgiving knew that as soon as they got to the priest and were cleansed, they could what? They could go back to life the way it was. They could go back to their normal lives. Is that wrong? No, but let's look at what's better. They were interested in living life and getting back to the way it used to be. And you and I know that after Christ comes into our lives and saves us from our sins, whatever they may be, whatever our sins may be that he saves us from, he is not calling us to go back to normal lives, but to live peculiar. Different. That's an easier word. Different. Transformed lives. And to prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect through the way that we live. Is your life a shining example of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will? Is my life a shining example of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will? If it's not, we can know that God knows just how to transform your life. Just like a caterpillar turns into a butterfly doesn't necessarily want to go back to being a caterpillar. We need to live a life that's transformed, that's different. We can show people that God loves them. That's talking about we can prove the will of God. We can prove what the will of God is through our actions. We can show people that God loves them, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, for their sins. True gratitude requires five different things. We have a need. It's an individual decision. It knocks us off our course. It requires humility. Humility is what we're going to talk about now. The man in this story not only thanked Jesus, which required humility, but he gave glory to God. He got down on his knees and fell on Jesus' feet and gave thanks to him. In James 4, verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In order for us to thank someone, we have to come to the place where we realize that we need them. It's very hard to be thankful when we think that we can do everything on our own, right? To think that we can live our lives independently of others doesn't produce in us a heart of gratitude. And we need to realize that we have a need of God, and therefore there is a reason to thank him. Let's get to the last one. Gratitude disregards ethnic barriers. Jesus knew that true gratitude disregarded all ethnic barriers, and he knew that healing this man would cross a barrier that was in place. Why? Because the Jews and the Samaritans were at odds with each other in this culture. Why the hate? Well, for years, the Jews treated the Samaritans with contempt. They called them pigs. They called them illegitimate. The Samaritans were the descendants of colonists whom the Assyrian kings planted in Palestine after the fall of the Northern Kingdom in 722 BC. That's good for those who like history. What does this mean? They were despised by the Jews because they had intermarried with the Gentiles and they had a different way of worship. This worship centered at Mount Gerizim. If you know the story of the woman at the well, John chapter 4, it talks about this is where our fathers worship, and you guys worship where you worship. And Jesus says to her, that's true, but there is coming a time when worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. God is looking for true worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. He's saying there's no difference to God. God is looking for true worshipers. So, Acts chapter 17, 26 said he has made all nations men of one blood to dwell on the face of the earth, ordaining four appointed seasons and boundaries of their dwelling. Geneticists have found that if we were to take any two people from anywhere in the world, the basic genetic differences between these two people would typically be around 0.2%. And then you factor race into the equation, and it drops it down to the differences that race causes or the looks of people causes is about 0.012%. That's the difference between our outer shell, what we actually look like, and who we actually are. There is something so specific about how God views people. And it's stated in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." What am I getting at here? I'm getting at there might be differences, there might be barriers between us as people, but our gratefulness and our thankfulness should not be dependent upon people who don't have a barrier between us. We should thank people for the things that they do to us, regardless of who they are, do for us, regardless of who they are. We are all nations from one blood. This Samaritan knew that it was only right for him to be grateful for the healing that Jesus had brought him. It was hard for this man to come back to Jesus, a Jew, and thank him for the healing. He disregards his own feelings, and truthfully, a change was happening in this man that resulted in salvation. It says, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." That means whole. It made you whole. So, what are our thoughts this Thanksgiving? What is our need? What is our need? We all have needs in our life. Identify a need in your life, whether it's salvation, whether it's being saved from your sin, whether it's whatever it may be, physical. How are we showing gratitude when our needs are met? Are we willing to go out of our ways to thank someone special? Will it take humbling to realize our need for others? Yes, it always takes humbling. And are we allowing barriers? Do we allow barriers to come between our gratitude for others, whether it be racial, cultural, or just plain preferential barriers? We shouldn't let barriers in our life dictate how we thank people, how we interact with people. We should all love one another. We should be the example of love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this Thanksgiving that you have died on the cross for our sins, and we know that each and every day you care about us so deeply, and you desire for us to not necessarily thank you, but to live our lives for you because we are thankful. Lord, you care for us so much. You desire for us to thank others as well. You provide some great people in our lives that do great things for us. And sometimes we need to make an individual decision to thank someone. Lord, we pray that this Thanksgiving would be a time where we can get together with families, and despite our differences, we can sit down and have a loving conversation with them. We can thank them for the things that they've done to get us to where we are today. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your awesome love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.